Reuven Levy, we're learning together the book Gan HaShalom by Rav Shalom Arashita in the Hebrew version of the book on page 193, learning about the importance of peace in the home, fundamentally important thing, not simply something that's convenient, not simply something that I need to give me an easy life, but it's a fundamental aspect of being alive, being a creation, being a Jew, having been given the gift of life, having a job to do down here, to work on ourselves. A fundamental part of that is to try and achieve Shalom Bayit. Harishon sheyesh lomod mimenu yishod zeh hu boei olam batim. The first thing that we can learn from this principle of the importance of Shalom Bayit is from Hashem himself. She'emid et ha-shalom bein ish l'ishto malakol. That Hashem placed Shalom between a man and a wife above everything else. Afilu me'al kavod shmo, even above his own kavod, even above Hashem's own honor, he placed the peace between man and wife. Where do we see this? Where do we learn this from? Mi parashat Sota. We learn it in the parashat Sota, in the Torah. Isha shenistara im ishza. What happens when a woman secludes herself with a man who she's not married to. It's a married woman who secludes herself with another man. Ubala makanela, and her husband, he becomes jealous. He thinks, suspects that she's been unfaithful. In those days, they knew that such a thing wasn't done. In our day and age, it's not something that is real. In our day and age, if a married woman is secluded with another man, you don't suspect her of adultery, because in our day and age, people are all over the place. This one's here, that one's there. But we still protect against that with the laws of Sniut, the laws of Yichud, the laws of a man and a woman are allowed to be in the same place, in a locked room. It comes from here, right? That we don't want the woman to be suspect. But certainly in previous generations, it was very much adhered to. And therefore, if a woman was secluded with a man, there was every reason to suspect that there may be something going on there, because it wasn't accepted as a norm that that would happen. So, in the case that the Torah gives us, this is what happened. Married woman is secluded with another man. The husband suspects there's a problem here. Ba'im ala Kohen, they come to the Kohen. What happens? So, as we know, the Kohen Roshem al Klaf et Parashat Sota, a kolelet et Shem Hashem. The Kohen then writes on a piece of parchment. Many people just understand that he writes the name of Hashem. He actually writes the whole parasha of Sota, all of those passages from the Torah about Sota, which include within them Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem. It's included in the Torah several times within that parasha. Then the Kohen places the parchment in water. And tells the woman to drink from them, to see if she's guilty or not. It turns out that what happens then is that the holy names are erased in the water. Right? It's not that right? The incorrect version, the sotah, is that the woman comes along, comes to Beit Din, and Beit Din, right, get a piece of paper, write the name of Hashem on, put it in water, rub it out, say, drink it. No. They go to the Kohen. The Kohen writes the whole parasha of sotah. He places it in water. Doesn't do any... By the fact that he placed it in water, and it's in cold parchment, some of the name of Hashem is going to get rubbed out. All of this, why? Bishvil lochiach et chafuta shala isha lashlim beina levein bala. All of this happens in order to prove the innocence of the woman, and in order to make peace between her and her husband, right? Because if she drinks the water and nothing happens to her, then it proves to the husband, who did up until now suspect his wife of infidelity, that nothing happened. So it makes peace between the husband and wife. Bore ad kama gadola shalom. So you can see from here how great peace is. Shalom bayit. Sharei Kadosh Baruch Hu makayem et haTorah kula, that Hashem fulfills or creates the Torah completely, Moshe Darshu Chazal, like Chazal said, Minayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevakeh Cholim, that Hashem fulfills his own Torah. Hashem fulfills all the Torah himself. How do we know this? So Chazal brought an example. Minayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevakeh Cholim. How do we know Hashem visits the sick? Shneema, like it says, Vayirei Lav Hashem Balonei Mamre, that Hashem went and visited Avraham on the plains of Mamre when he had been circumcised. So the Torah says Hashem went to visit him. Kover Meitim. How do we know that Hashem buries the dead? Shneema, like it says in Devarim, Vayikvoto, that he buried him, talking about Moshe. Hashem buried Moshe. So we see that Hashem fulfills the laws of his own Torah. Because Shalom Bayit sakana, and when Shalom Bayit is in danger, Muchadhu lebatelet achad mea mitzvot hachamurot biyoteh b'Torah. And we see that even though Hashem fulfills the entire Torah, kilu, he's obligated himself to fulfill the entire Torah. In the case when Shalom Bayit is in danger, Hashem is prepared to cancel one of the most severe mitzvahs of the Torah. What's that? Isur mechikat shel Hashem, Shem Hashem. There's a prohibition to erase the name of Hashem. You're not allowed to do that. It's asur. But in the case of Shalom Bayit, Hashem is even prepared to cancel his own Torah that he otherwise keeps by committing an aveira, so to speak, and rubbing out his own name, which is forbidden. And about this matter, Chazal said, "Gadol Hashalom, Shehashem shenichtav b'kedusha, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yimacher al hamayim b'shvil lahatil shalom bein ish u'ishto." So great is peace that Hashem said that the holy name, that his holy name should be rubbed out in water in order to achieve peace between a man and a woman. That's how great it is. That's how important it is. But Avshe Kol HaOlam Nivra Bishvil Kavod Yibaroch, even though the whole world was created for the honor of Hashem, like it says in the pasuk, Kol Anikra Bishmi Bilichvodi Boativ Yatzarativ Asher Asitiv. Everything that's called by my name and for my honor, I created, I formed, and I made it. Bishvil Shalom Bayit Avorim Ochelek Avodot. For the sake of Shalom Bayit, Hashem is prepared to cancel his own honor. Even though the entire honor of Hashem was the reason he created the world, to honor Hashem. However, he's prepared to cancel that, to dishonor himself, for the sake of Shalom Bayit. And from this we see that even greater than Hashem's kavod, His honor, is the honor that He places on Shalom Bayit. Therefore we can see we see that Hashem waives His own honor for the sake of peace between a man and a wife. And through that, His honor is increased. Therefore, we can learn an important lesson. That when a person waives a certain thing, cancels something for himself, for the sake of peace, you don't lose out. You won't lose out. Not only that, that you actually gain the peace itself. There's nothing greater than that. Not only, he's saying, not only do you gain, if you cancel yourself in order to try and acquire peace, not only do you gain the peace itself, which is greater than everything else, but you also, but you even gain that thing that you cancelled yourself for. Which is just like, similar anyway, to what Rav Dror was saying today, about the fact that when Rav Arush cancelled himself to give up the yeshiva, and somebody came to argue and said, no, that belongs to me, he said, fine. And he gave it up. What did he get? He got back in return 5 floors, and you can include the basement as well, and the great organization of Chutz Shalchesed that we have now. Right? So the thing that you cancel yourself for, you even get. So when you do that for Shalom Bayit, not only do you get the peace, right? So if, for example, let's take a very simple, very pashut, low-level example. You give up on playing tennis with your friend because your wife wants to sit home and talk to you about her shopping experience today. So you gave up, I was going to play tennis with my friend, but no, I'm going to talk. So I haven't given up a huge thing, I gave it up. So not only are you going to benefit by having Shalom Bayit, you're going to get that peace, but you're also going to get the thing you gave up. Instead of that one poor tennis game that you were going to play lousy, Hashem is going to give you in return a month, a week, a year of tennis games where you're going to be really kind of, you're going to be whoever is, I don't know, tennis players now, Bjorn Borg, Jimmy Connors, old tennis players. Tom, you're going to be really good. You're going to get whatever you thought you gave up. Do you think you have to give up a sheer your learning, your chavruta time, Hashem's going to give you back tenfold. What you gave up, Hashem said, you're not going to lose out because you gave up for the sake of peace. So if I give up on a business deal,
I'm going to get that. You have to make it's important the way you give it up. You can give it up with faith or without faith. If you do that with faith, then you're going to get something back greater than what you saw.
Right. If you, I think you could maybe even say that if you give it up without faith, you haven't really given it up. No. Meaning, you're still holding on to it. Right? If my wife says, I don't want you to play tennis tonight, I want you to sit and talk to me because I haven't seen you all day. And you're like, fine. I'll sit and talk to you. I haven't given up the tennis game. I'm just thinking about the whole time when I'm speaking out. I'm not looking at her. I'm not thinking about her. I'm thinking that I have to be here, and I gave it up. I didn't give up nothing. I've still got it. It's still with me. I didn't give up it. So I'm not going to get any benefits. Right? I didn't give it up. To give it up, cancel it. 100%. Gone. Doesn't mean anything. Nimsa sheharevach mishmirat ha-shalom hu kafur. Turns out, therefore, that the benefit that you get from guarding your shalom bayit is double. Gam zochim l'shalom, not only you merit the peace itself, shehu kli l'chol brachot, which is, as we learned before, a vessel for all of the blessings, v'gam masigim et mashiratim, but you also achieve that which you gave up, or which you wanted. Ve'ilo kasha adam omeda al shalom, bishvil eino inyan al cheshbon shalom. And if a person doesn't give up, but stands, holds on to what he wants at the cost of his peace. So his wife says to him, I want you to stay home and talk to me. And he says, I'm really sorry, dear, but I've planned this game for weeks and it's really important to me. And I'll come home, I'll play for an hour and I'll come home quick and we'll speak all night. But I'm sorry, I'm going to go. Right? So if he puts himself or his, whatever his desire was, first, Sofola has sid gam et oto davar v'dimsa shev sid kiflayim gam et lo shalom bar v'gam et davar shu kol kafat salas. If he does the other way, he loses twice. He will lose his shalom bayit and he'll also lose that thing that he wanted to do. So when he goes to that tennis game, either it will be cancelled or he's going to play lousy or he's going to hate himself. Hashem's not going to let him have it. It's not going to work. So he's going to lose that, and he's going to lose the peace. So he can't win. He can't do what he wants. Hashem's going to show him very clearly that he made the wrong choice. V'ayam ukan lafsid et ha-shalom bayit b'shvilo b'sof. In the end, he loses them both. Tov. Now he's going to bring, we're going to bring now a couple of examples from life. Adam she'eino mukhan levatel kavodo b'shvil ha-shalom. Person, a man who is not prepared to cancel his own honor for the sake of peace. Kasher ishto mevazeh oto. For example, when his wife embarrasses him or disgraces him, rebukes him. Or she magia lo ezer chitut kavod bimena, or he receives some lesser honor than he was expecting. Right, so either she rebukes him outright. Sometimes a wife might rebuke her husband and say something not nice to her husband. Right, she's the mouthpiece of Hashem. Hashem is testing me right now. So my wife is going to say something not nice to me. She's going to say to me, I know, something to rebuke me. You never listen to me. You never take me out anywhere. You never buy me anything. Right? That hurts. That's very painful. If a wife says that to her husband, it's a rebuke. Or if she treats him with a lack of respect, he comes home tired and hungry, and she says to him, sorry, dear, I haven't made anything for dinner tonight. I was busy and I need to go out. You can make yourself something, so that's okay. And she runs out the door. So the husband can feel slighted. Hello. You know, leave me to fend for myself. So it's not like she rebuked him, but she didn't treat him with the honor that he was expecting. If what's the two choices now, the husband? If the husband makes the wrong choice and he opens his mouth and he starts to give her a response in order to protect his own kavod. Wait a minute, before you go, hold on a minute. What exactly is there here for me to eat? You know, I want to gain a bit back of my honor. I'm gonna put my foot down here and show that we're, then he's lost it all. Or his wife says to him, you don't take me out anywhere, you don't do nothing for me, you ignore me, you're just with your friends. And I open my mouth to defend myself. Hold on, that's not so true. We were out last week. I bought you that. Wait a minute. Right? I'm defending my own honor here. Wrong move. Even though it's 100% true. Even though when my wife said, you never buy me anything, clearly the statement is wrong. you never buy me anything. Well, in 20 years, I never bought you anything. Of course I bought you anything. She doesn't mean it like that. And of course I can answer her back. What do you mean I never buy you anything? Where'd you get that dress from? What about that thing around your neck? What about that thing on your hand? Right? Clearly I buy you stuff. But Hashem doesn't want me to be clever. He wants me to take the rebuke. Greater is peace. I'm not going to get peace by setting her straight, by telling her she's wrong. Actually, that's not correct, what you just said. Or by holding her up. Say, well, wait a minute, what were you doing all day that you didn't have time to make me, right? It's not going to achieve peace.
Well, that's it. Where you go out into the field and you start to, that be the time to analyze it's a situation, you need to look for a shortcoming or a message from Hashem in terms of
right.
the husband's relation to Hashem and also potentially a character who suffered in him, that Hashem sending a message to, through the wife to him to get with that.
You're right, 100%, but that in reality only comes a lot later. Like, that might come a lot later, meaning in the evening, tomorrow, the next day, when I get a chance to actually look back and think. But in the middle of the battle, where the question is, what am I doing right now? In the middle of the battle, I'm not thinking, this is interesting, Hashem, thank you very much. I wonder what you're trying to tell me. I'm shaking. I'm getting a full frontal attack from someone who's meant to be my life partner, who loves me, and she's in my face, telling me I'm useless, I'm a fool, I'm useless, right? What am I going to do right then? Right then, I've got, my natural reaction, which is the reaction of 99.9% of the population, is to defend yourself. Hey, wait a minute, I can defend myself very well, right? Especially now I've learned Gemara, I've been very good at pulling out exactly every little, right? My Gemara skills help me hone exactly where you're wrong and exactly to point out where I'm right, and my memory's now sharper because I've been learning and I remember everything. I've got plenty of answers I can bring. And the smarter guy I am, the smarter answers I can give. And in my answers, I can do everything from defend myself to put her down to imply that she's the one at fault. I can do lots of things with my answer. I can tear her apart. Leave right if I wanted to. For sure, I can. I used to be a lawyer, so right. It gives me all the tools. The Yetzer Hara gives me immediately into my mind all of the great one-liners that I can just kill this conversation dead. How dare you say anything about me when you just went out and whatever you just did, right? The Yetzer Hara is going to fill me with loads of Oh, I just wanted to say, I could have just said, right? That's very hard, it's a big test. A much a big test. And a person's not gonna pass it every time. Sometimes it's just too much, right? It's too much of and I've had a hard day, I've had a tough day, and this is the last thing I need. Right, in my mind, I've had it, whatever. Last thing I need is to her, and I just say, wait, enough, no, I'm not accepting this. I'm not accepting this, it's not fair, it's not right, because I just can't accept it. I mean, I haven't got the power to sit there and smile. I just, that day I've had, can't do it. Sometimes Hashem will put me in a test, which is going to be too much, but I can't do it. I know what, right now I should be smiling and nodding, but I just can't do it. Right now I've just got to let, which is not the right thing to do. But we have to know it's realistic. We're not angels that get it right 100% of the time. Right? We have to fail sometimes. So when we fail, Hashem also teaches us a lesson. Because sometimes Hashem needs to show us what's going to happen if you get it wrong. If you get it wrong and you try and defend yourself. So I know you think that that's probably a good idea. So I'm going to show you. I'm going to let you go with that. I'm going to give you the Yetzer Hara. And you're going to see what's going to happen. So you're going to reply to your wife, you're wrong. What about the dress I bought you? What about the fact that I took you out last week for a meal? What about the fact that tomorrow night we're going to see your friend that you know I don't like? And I'm going to come out with all this stuff in order to defend myself. And in order to show me that, don't think that that's going to help. Don't think that you can just give back a simple logical argument and it's like a discussion here. And she'll go, oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah, good point. Oh, okay, thanks for telling me. It's not going to happen. You're going to see what's going to happen if you do that. So Hashem lets you fail so you can see what happens. So you won't do it again. The Gemara says that sometimes, I didn't say sometimes, the Gemara says a person needs to stumble in his sin in order to learn how to acquire that mitzvah. First you have to get it wrong in order to then do it properly. A person who does the mitzvah and never failed that mitzvah never really knows, hasn't really acquired the mitzvah, because you don't know what's going to happen. If you were perfect, you went into your marriage having learned Ganah Shalom from front to back, and you learned never to criticize, and from day one you never ever ever criticized your wife, and you have great Shalom by it, you haven't really acquired that, because you haven't really tasted and understood what's going on here until you've messed it up and seen what a problem it is. And now you're going to keep it. So now you know, now you're talking about a different thing. Right? Until a person messes up on a Torah law, for example, he breaks Shabbos. Keep Shabbos. But he keeps Shabbos out of habit. Maybe he was brought up that way from birth. Until he decides one day that he's had enough, I just need to listen to the radio or whatever he does, and he switches the radio on Shabbat. And then he feels terrible with himself. And he never ever does that again. Now when he's keeping Shabbos, I'm keeping it from my heart. I never ever want to do that again. Right? It's really in my heart not to do it. But I only know that because I saw how terrible it was. Which is why the Baal Teshuvah has very good ratzon. We're very strong. When we keep mitzvahs, it's because we want to do it. I don't have to. I've seen what happens when I don't. I actually want to do it. I have a ratzon. Because I failed in it. And now I'm doing it out of choice. And a person who never failed in it, never, you can argue that they never ever had a choice. They never really chose it for themselves. It's just routine. How do I choose it for myself? I actually failed. I failed and I saw that I could fail. Plus I saw the fact that Hashem didn't hit me with a bolt of lightning when I turned the radio on Shabbos. So I saw there is an option in this world to not do it. So I failed in it and I chose nonetheless. I'm going to keep it. I can see that I don't have to. Thanks very much for showing me. I've got free choice. And I'm choosing to do it. So the failing is actually part of keeping the mitzvah. Right? The Rabbeinu in Lekutei Moran calls it Yuridah L'tzorech Aliyah, to go down in order to go up. Sometimes you have to go down in order to go up. Sometimes you have to mess up, especially in Shalom Bayit, to get to yourself to a much better level. Right? You make a small mistake, you criticize your wife a little bit, after that you drop a little bit, and then after that you're like, you treat every you're the king now, right? You treat her like a goddess, because after that one little mistake, right, you now realize that, right, you're much more careful. So sometimes Hashem, a person should never do it themselves, right? But sometimes Hashem will make us fall. We'll end up failing, but only so that we get to a higher place. So when this happens, that the person gets the rebuke from his wife, or doesn't get treated with the respect that he thinks he deserves, so he has a choice. If he answers back, as I suffer litbazot od yoter yoter, the result will be that he will get even more and more rebuke. Don't think that I can cancel out the rebuke by defending myself. If I think that I can defend myself, when my wife says to me, you never buy me anything, you never take me out anywhere, and I think that I can close this by pointing out the fact that's not true, actually we went out last week and I bought you that dress, and I think, well, that's it. I've just solved that discussion. No, the reverse. By trying to get out of that small rebuke, I'm now going to get, that's it. Right? She's now going to unleash let me tell you. And that's it. Right? So instead of accepting the small rebuke, I've now unleashed it, right? Hashem is teaching me that it's not the right thing to do. Right? There's many ways of teaching me that I've messed up. And one of them is to see that I'm going to get a lot worse back. A lot worse. Ki hu yaber deta shalom ba'et. Ve'im b'zion yoteh gadol. Not only that he gets that, but he loses his shalom ba'et. Up until that point, he's still got shalom ba'et. When the wife rebukes the husband, from her point of view, there's still shalom ba'et. I'm just telling you off. You should know that you never take me anywhere. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm shalom ba'et. Great, yeah? Yeah. If you stop the film at that point, you got still shalom ba'et? She's like, yeah. I'm just telling him that he needs to get his act together. She's rebuking you. You need to pick your socks up off the floor. Can you please not leave them on the floor? Now, if at that point everything's still shalom ba'et, I haven't lost my shalom ba'et. It's not like we've got a break. If I respond, now we've lost it. But if I say, you know what, you're right 100%, even though it's not true. And once this week I left my socks on the floor, and she's now saying, every day you leave your socks on the floor, right? Every day! How can you do it every day? It happened once. If I just accept the fact, you're right, I'm gonna, thanks for reminding me. Yofi, shalom bayit, complete, ma'uleh. Everything's great. But if I try and respond, actually it was only once, come on, once, I forgot, I was in a rush, what do you want? Then that's it. Now I've lost everything. I'm going to lose my shalom bayit. Tov, we'll stop there and carry on tomorrow.